to be able to see it any other way. And sometimes I like to shed a little light a different way, you know. A fellow told me the other day, he said, I'm going to have to quit coming to your church. I said, why? He said, because when I come, you make me laugh so hard, and when I laugh, I get to coughing, and I can't breathe. I said, well, that would be a wonderful way to go to heaven, wouldn't it? Just die laughing. Yes, amen. But I know that's not always true. Luke chapter 8, we'll start with verse 26, if you will. In verse 26, he says, and he said unto them, where is your faith? And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils long time, and wore no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and with a loud voice said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God Most High? I beseech thee, torment me not. For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and in fetters. And he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness. And Jesus asked him, and saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. And they besought him that he would not command them to go out into the deep. For there was there an herd of many swine feeding on the mountain. And they besought him that he would suffer them to enter into them. And he suffered them. And that's the old English word, allowed, let. Then went the devils out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the lake and were choked. And when they that fed them saw what was done, they fled and went and told it in the city and in the country. Then they went out to see what was done and came to Jesus and found the man out of whom the devils were departed sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. They also which saw it told them by what means he that was possessed of the devils was healed. Then the whole multitude of the country of the Gadarenes round about besought him to depart from them, for they were taken with great fear. And he went into the ship and returned back again. Amen. A lot of you already know the story. Jesus crosses the sea. They land in their boat. And there is a man that's full of 1,000 demons. He's naked. Naked, if you're from other areas. He's not clothed. He's torn his clothes off. Another passage said he hurt himself. And he cried day and night in the tombs. He lived in the graveyard. Lived in the graveyard. And then when Jesus lands, he comes, the devils drive him, the demons, drive him to Jesus. And they beg Jesus not to cast them out of his body. And they said, don't cast us into the sea, the water. So he saw a herd of swine, pigs, and he cast them into the pigs, and they drove the pigs crazy and ran into the sea anyway, and the pigs died. If you read that story, you might could say this man went from disgrace to grace. They kept him chained, but he'd break the chains. They kept him tied up, he'd break the cords. He hurt himself. He wept. He cried. He was in agony, continued all the time. I doubt he slept very much, really, since he was living in the tombs. But the man would, if you'd went to his family would have said, our son has disgraced us. We don't know what happened to him. We tried to raise him right. We tried to teach him right from wrong. But somewhere, he went down the wrong path, and now he's full of the devil. You ever heard anybody say that about their kids? Boy, I have. Man, they're full of the devil. And we don't know where it happened, but somewhere he got on the wrong path. And now we can't let him live here anymore. We can't help him anymore. We've done all we can do for him. We've turned him over to the Lord. He's living out there in the graveyard. He's no good to himself nor anybody else. How many times have we ever heard that scene over and over and over and over again? I don't know where he came from. Maybe he didn't come from a good family. Maybe he wasn't raised right. Maybe mom and dad didn't care. Maybe he didn't know who his daddy was or who his mom was. I don't know. But I know this. Every person born on planet Earth is a creation of a loving God.
Amen.
And his eternal destiny for everyone that's ever been born on planet Earth is to run their race, finish their course, and end up in glory. He's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It wasn't God's will this man ended up this way. It wasn't God's will. Matter of fact, this man had to go against the will of God to get to the disgraceful place he was in. All through our lives, we can go back. Every one of us can go back. I can, being saved, even if you're not saved. You can go back and you can see places in your life, maybe in your family or places in your life, to where God had mercy on you. Maybe you should have died and went to hell then. He didn't let you do it. He gave you another chance. Maybe you should have lost that marriage. You didn't lose that marriage. He took care of it. Maybe people should have turned their back on you and they didn't turn their back on you. And you weren't even saved because God's got a plan for everybody that's ever born on planet Earth, and it is not to live in the graveyard.
Amen.
It's to end up in heaven.
Amen.
It's not God's will that somebody ends up smoking crack.
That's right.
It's not God's will that somebody ends up with a broken life and destroys everybody and everything around them. This man was out of place. And let me tell you something. If you live in disgrace, you're out of place too.
Come on, man.
God doesn't want you there. God never intended you to be there. He's got a lot better plan for you than that. You say, well, I'm a free moral agent. I can do everything I want to anytime. And you can do that. But think about it. This man was the same way one day, and now he's not free anymore.
That's right.
He's bound by things that I imagine he never thought. He never dreamed he'd end up sleeping in the graveyard. He never dreamed he'd end up dirty and filthy and naked. That wasn't his intention. Somewhere in all of his life, he thought he was doing some good things, and then other times he thought, this ain't good, but I'll get over it and I'll get better. And he didn't get over it and he didn't get better, and it kept going downhill from there on. Now I know we all say, I can quit this anytime I want to. Well, you better do it while you can, because there's going to come somewhere a crossing point where you can't quit no more.
Come on now. Yeah.
Right.
That's right. Yes, sir.
There's people right now, and this is the truth, you know it and I know it, recreationally they drank or did drugs, and they could have quit any time during that, but they let it get its hooks in them, and now it's not about partying anymore. It's not about getting high anymore. It's not about having a good time anymore. It's life or death now. If you don't drink it, you're going to die. You've done made your heart in such a shape, your liver, your kidneys, your body can't live without the alcohol. Now it's not fun anymore. Now it is a sickness. Same way with drugs. Same way with immoral behavior. Come on, help me here. Hey, there's joy in sin for a season, but in the end, it bringeth forth death. It's always fun at the beginning, but like old John R. Rice used to say, all of the devil's apples have worms. Now, this man didn't intend to be there, but he's living in the graveyard. Brother Rick, he didn't intend to be full of devils, but now he's full of devils. And I'm sure this wasn't the plan of his mom and daddy. I don't care how bad a mom and daddy is, they never want their children to end up living like they did like that.
Amen.
Come on now. Yeah.
Ever drunk in town, look at his son and say, boy, don't ever drink. I don't want you to turn out like me. Every drug addict in town, look at their children and say, daughter, don't you do like me. Don't you live like me. You do better than this. Nobody wants their children to end up defeated. Nobody wants their children to end up dead. And certainly nobody wants their children to end up in hell.
Amen.
I don't know where the crossroads was. I don't know at what point he made decisions he shouldn't have made. But I can tell you where he made the first decision, and it was wrong. To disobey God. Did you know even lost people live better if they go by the principles of God than if they don't. Now, they were not going to heaven because of that, but if you'll live a clean, sober, modest, moderate, loving life, you'll have a better life.
Yes.
And those are things that God teaches in His Word. But if you don't, you're going to have a miserable life. I wanted to show you just a few things. A lot of us over 20 years old, 20 or older, we would have to agree that inwardly, if not outwardly, we came from disgrace to grace.
Amen.
You know, a lot of people like gossip. I won't say a lot. Some people like to gossip. We don't have it here, by the way, and if we ever do have it, I want you to look at that person and say, well, here, take my hand, we'll go talk to the person you're talking about, and it'll quit.
Amen. Yeah.
A lot of people like to compare themselves among themselves, and the Bible says by doing that, we are not wise. We're no better than anybody else. It's just the grace of God that we are what we are. And if God had not intervened, we might be living in the graveyard right now. Some of us will be dead and in the devil's hell right now. And just because you never did it, I guarantee you that you thought it. Inwardly, we're all a disgrace. Little old children, some of the most selfish things you'll ever see, young lady, is a little baby. Am I telling the truth? Mine! Mine! And by the way, if you don't raise them right, they'll still be like that at 30 years old.
Yes.
The Bible says, don't spare them for their much crying, and a rod will drive foolishness away. If you think just because it's your kid that they're going to grow up right without some biblical instruction, they're going to end up in the graveyard, if not dead alive. Amen. But most of us are saved by the grace of God and kept by the grace of God. We would have ended badly. But now I want to show you a couple of things about going from disgrace to grace. Number one, mankind by nature is a disgrace. Psalm 10:7. Turn over there real quick. I want you to have some verses. I don't want you to go out here and say, well, the preacher said. I want you to go out here and say, the Bible said. I want you to go out here and say, the Bible said. Psalm 10:7, if you will. I said, by nature, we are disgraceful. His mouth is full of cursing and deceit and fraud, and under his tongue is mischief and vanity. That's the perfect picture of a person that's not been born again. You say, preacher, that's not me. Yes, sir. Yes, it is. By nature, our speech is corrupt.
Amen.
By nature, if we go by nature, we will hurt people with our speech. If we go by nature, we will accuse, we will abuse, we will do all kinds of things with this thing right here. James says this thing is so bad, you have to corral it like a horse. You got to put a bridle in that thing right there, or it'll kill and destroy that thing right there. The Bible says it'll give life or it'll take it away. You can destroy somebody with this thing right there. And by the way, it'll never be you if you're lost and going to hell. You won't talk about you, you'll talk about everybody else. Because that makes you feel better about the corrupt you, is to find somebody more corrupt than you are. Our life is corrupt. It's a disgrace. Before we were saved, our life was a disgrace. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 18. Proverbs 6, 18. I know y'all thought I was going to do a sweet message since we're moving. Ain't no need to change now, amen? Proverbs chapter 6, look at verse 18. And heart that deviseth wicked imaginations. I'll give you a test today. I'll start with Brother Billy and I'll end with Brother Billy. You ready, Billy? You ready, Billy?
Yeah.
I want you to raise your hand if your heart has never thought bad things. Nobody passed that test. All of our hearts have been wicked. All of our hearts have had wicked imaginations. Hey, thank God we don't do everything we think. Come on. There's a lot of people in jail that did what they thought. And you just didn't do it. Or like you say, Brother Ron, you didn't get caught. And they did. Amen. Our hearts are wicked. They're deceitful. And no man, the Bible says, can know his own heart. You women are bad about saying, well, if I know my heart. You don't. It's deceitful. It'll lie to you. That's why you end up in a bad marriage, bad relationships. That's why, that's why you end up hurting other people, because your heart is deceitful and it's greedy and it's selfish and it's all about a sinful being. Now, I know that man had these. The difference between him and us is his speech and his life led him somewhere he allowed it to lead, that we've not allowed those to lead us. Right? We're all, if you're not disgraceful indeed, and some of you didn't do the things that some of others did, and thank God you didn't, but it's not saying you never thought about doing something just as bad. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh God. All we like sheep have gone astray. That's why we needed a Savior. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. We were all lost. Man by nature is a disgrace. Mankind. You understand what I'm saying? Would I get an amen on that right there? Mankind by nature. Our nature. We have to control our sinful nature.
Come on, man. Yeah.
What's wrong with America today is not politics. And it's not religion. You know what's wrong today? There's a bunch of people been raised, not been taught how to control their sinful nature.
Right.
And now they're raising children.
Yeah.
And so the next generation is going to be worse than the last. I didn't grow up in church, but my mama taught me some things I shouldn't say and shouldn't do and shouldn't go to. There was lines that my mama, there was lines that we as lost people had drawn. We're not crossing that line. We're not doing that. And our sinful nature don't draw lines. It says, go ahead. You're free. You can do this. You have a right to do this. And then I want you to notice what else happened to this man. Galatians 3:10. For as many as under the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Now God's got a book of laws here. And he said, cursed is everyone that doesn't do every one of them. I'll never forget, I was preaching out at the jail, Chester Jail. The old Chester Jail. You know all about it, don't you? Yeah. Danny does too, but he's outside. He can't say amen. But I was preaching in there, and I was preaching about being condemned by the law of God. And this fella, every time I'd name a commandment, he said, I ain't never done that. Until we got the line.
Yeah.
Didn't say nothing on the line. And I thought to myself, I didn't say it, but I thought to myself, he was probably lying about the others. The law has condemned us. But good news is Jesus came to save us. You see, Jesus didn't get off that ship that day and look at that guy and say, you're going to die and go to hell. You fool of the devil. But the devils knew it, and they came to beg Jesus not to cast them out. And he did exactly what they did not ask. I mean, that they asked not to be done. Now, the law will condemn us. Now, the law's good. We talked about that in the book of Romans in Sunday school. Nothing wrong with the law of God, would you say, amen? It's perfect, it's just, it's holy, it's pure. So the problem is not with the law, it's with who?
Us.
But Jesus didn't come to condemn that man, Brother Tom. You know why? He was already condemned. He was doomed and he was damned and he was headed for the fires of hell himself. I don't think it had much longer to go. After you get that much on you, and they can't chain you, they can't clothe you, they can't be around you, I think you're probably only another step or two from going to hell, don't you? Now, some of us, we may have never gotten that far, but we headed in that direction. We knew God's law said don't, and we did.
Amen.
We knew God's law said don't say that, and we said it. We knew God's law said don't behave like that, and we behaved like that. We knew God's law said don't treat people like that, and we treated them like that. Y'all still with me?
Yes.
Sunday school worried me this morning. I got real quiet. I was afraid something done happened I didn't know about. Everybody was mad at me. I want you to know this. We are condemned rightly and justly by the law of God. Because he says if you can't keep the whole law, then you're guilty of them all.
Yes.
I've met some good people in my life. I've met some real good people. But I've never met anybody that kept all the law of God. I've met people like myself. We want to. We want to. We want to keep the law of God. We want to be holy. We want to be pure. And God's working on us. We're getting better because of Him. But we haven't arrived yet.
That's right.
If that man lived in the graveyard, everybody else done turned away from him. And I've told y'all before, Jesus is that kind of friend that walks in when everybody else walks out. He walked in. The man was living in disgrace and he walked in. Now don't get me wrong, I had some guy on Facebook and he even called my house. He got so mad at me. And he said, Jesus hung around with sinners and prostitutes and crooks and thieves. I didn't say nothing because the Bible said let the ignorant be ignorant still. But what I wanted to say, and it's truthfully, is Jesus didn't hang around with anybody. People got saved, they got right with Him, and they hung around with Him. Amen?
Yes.
He didn't condone anybody's sinful lifestyle. They got saved, they left that lifestyle and came to Him, and He changed them. Jesus didn't go up there and pat this guy on the back and say, I know you got 1,000 devils on you, but you're a pretty good old guy, and I love you, and I'm just going to go back across the lake and leave you alone. I don't care what they say about you. I know, yeah. No, he didn't. He went up there and he said, devils, get out of this man.
Amen.
Jesus doesn't leave you in disgrace. He leaves you in grace. People tell me, they'll say, well, I got saved, and I said, where do you go to church? I don't go to church. How often you read your Bible? Well, when do you pray? And I want to say, well, you got that kind of religion. I'm glad I got the real thing. Amen. It'll change you. It's the kind that'll take a man out of the cemetery naked and put clothes on him. Amen. Don't tell me you're right with God. You walk around naked. I don't care what you say. I love you, but I'm not going to hang around with you. Amen.
Amen.
I'll send you to the Savior. He can put some clothes on you. Amen.
On.
Amen. Hey, don't tell me you're saved. You run around in and out of the penitentiary and hurting people and cutting people and cussing people. You say whatever you want to. There is grace, but if you're living in disgrace, don't tell me you've received grace.
Come on, man.
Right? None of us are perfect since we've been saved. Don't get me wrong. We fall, we get back up. We fall off the horse, we get back on. We don't quit. We don't go back to the cemetery.
Come on, man. Yeah.
I got quiet on that. Maybe I ought to say that one again. In lost condition, you're dead in trespasses and sin. Who wants to go back to that? This man didn't. This man didn't. You know what he did? He got saved. 1 Peter 1:23. I don't want to quote it. I'll misquote it. 1 Peter 1:23. Titus 3:7. Turn to Titus 3:7. I'm running out of time quicker than I'm running out of sermon, okay? That being justified by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Now, even though we live in disgrace, and we're not justified, and if we stood before the great judge today, we would be found guilty, not guilty. We would not be innocent. But then when we receive His grace, then God does things and He changes us, and now we're in His standing and we're justified by faith in Him.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Anybody can be saved.
Yes.
You say, well, they done gone too far. No, sir, you couldn't get no farther away than this man.
That's right.
How much farther could you go than this man? Anybody can be saved. Anybody can be justified. Even those who live in such disgrace that it looks like there's absolutely no hope for them, if they'll receive the grace of God, the unmerited love, the unmerited favor of the Lord Jesus Christ, and put it on Him, He will take away that disgrace and put them in grace.
Thank you, Lord.
And as Paul said, and such were some of you. Now, I'm not that kind of Christian that thinks I'm arrived. I'm not the kind of preacher that thinks everybody's perfect or I'm perfect or anybody's ever going to be perfect. But I do believe that when you go from disgrace to grace, there'll be some fantastic changes to the person that receives the grace of God. He became a new man. He became a new man. His whole life was changed. He was not the same. Colossians 3.10 says this. Look, Colossians 3.10, if you will, real quick. He says this. And have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge. Look at this. After the image of Him that created him. That's godliness. Now this man went from demonic devilishness to godliness.
Thank you, Lord.
All in one day.
Thank you, Lord.
He didn't have to go to a class. There wasn't but one step. There wasn't 12, 14, 16, 7, or 10. He turned to Christ and Christ changed him. Now you can say whatever you want to, but if you come to Christ, there's going to be some changes. And thank God there are. Because the things we could not do, He'll do for us.
Amen.
This man could not clothe himself. This man could not be in his right mind. This man could not stop hurting himself. But when he came to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ changed him.
Amen.
And the next picture you see is, it says, he came clothed in his right mind and sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, we're all disgraceful. When we were kids, we were sinners. We needed a Savior. When we were teenagers, we needed a Savior. When we were adults, we needed a Savior. You can't go to heaven without it. You can't have a new life without it. You're dead in trespass and sin. You may not be actually physically living in the graveyard, but in your heart, in your mind, in your habits, in your hobbies, in your lifestyle, you're already dead and living in the graveyard. All that stuff's killing you and you don't see it. I preached out of Ephesians 2 one time. Says, the name of it was, I See Dead People. You remember that movie? That little boy said, I see dead people. He said, they want me to help them. He said, the problem is, they don't know they're dead. That comes straight out of Ephesians. I'm telling you, I don't know if that man ever read the Bible, but spiritually, that's true. Everywhere we go, we see dead people. The problem is, they don't know they're dead. But they want somebody to help them.
Yeah.
And this man had probably went for a lot of help. Mom and dad probably sent him to some kind of psychiatrist or psychologist or doctors, and they probably diagnosed him as ADD and DHD. And with me, they said DUMB. Who knows? Who knows what they'd done for this man? I guarantee they didn't just sit around and let it run its course till he ended up in the cemetery. Mom and Dad never expected that of this man. Would you agree with me? But there he is. And then Jesus cast out the demons. And Jesus put him in his right mind. And Jesus didn't have to tell him to. He put some clothes on. Galatians 3.10. I'm about through. I can tell I'm making some people nervous. Galatians 3.10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the law, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things that are written in the book of the law to do them. But if you look at the next verse, he says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by what?
Faith.
That day that you turned by faith to Jesus Christ, He fulfilled the law for you.
Amen.
And then instead of it being written in stone in front of some Capitol building, it's written on your heart.
That's it.
Now, this man didn't go to an old-fashioned barnstorming, window-rattling, shingle-pulling camp meeting to understand that he needed to put some clothes on. He just did it.
Amen.
Because God put it in his heart that day. Hey, he didn't have to go to a class to find out the best place to be for the rest of your life is sitting at the feet of Jesus and listening to him and finding out what he says. He just did it. God had done put that in his heart. Now, when we went from disgrace to grace, God just put some things in our heart. The church I got saved in, I loved the pastor, I loved the people, but I never heard a sermon against anything. Sunday mornings, how to be saved and know it. Sunday nights, how to be saved and know it. Wednesday nights, how to be saved and know it. I don't remember two revivals, but everything's, and that's wonderful. People was getting saved, and they knew it. But then I got saved, and I thought, well... you know, there's more to it than this. So I started reading the Bible, sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I started finding out some things the way I ought to behave. And did you know it wasn't hard to do that? A lot of people have to put them in jail, put chains on them, and control their life to save their life. And I'll tell you this, I've said before, there's some people better off in jail. Sometimes parents come to me and say, pray for me, my boy's in jail. I said, thank God. He'll get 3 square meals a day. You ain't got to worry about him eating. And he's not, hey, he ain't out there shooting up no more. You thank God for that. Amen. He ain't going to like it. But thank God he put him in jail. Now you can talk to him. I've had people come to me and say, pray for so-and-so. He's in the hospital. I said, thank God he's in the hospital. Well, why? That's awful. I said, no, it's not awful. Now, he's laying on his back. There ain't but one way to look. That's up now. He's been looking inward and outward. It's time to look upward, and God can do something for him. Amen? And God brought us from disgrace to grace. You know, the funny thing is, that guy wasn't sitting up in that tombstone, on those tombstones every day looking for Jesus. He wasn't looking for him. Well, Rick, Jesus interrupted this man's life. I don't think this man was praying every day, send the Lord by. I think he was over there cutting himself and hollering and cussing and crying and shaking those chains he just got through breaking and ripping his clothes off and being, when people come by beating them or threatening them, amen. He wasn't looking for the Lord, but the Lord was looking for him. Now let me tell you something. Living in disgrace, God will look for you. On your worst time, He'll look for you. He said, I came to seek and to save that which was lost. 2 Corinthians 5:20, and I'll quit. 2 Corinthians 5:20, you still with me? When you get to 2 Corinthians 5:20, say amen. 2 Corinthians 5:20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, that ye be reconciled to God. Did you know now we can be reconciled to God? That's our position. See, we were enemies to God. We were God's enemy.
Right.
Boy, do you get these little mushy preachers and people, and they'll say, well, you know, God loves everybody. He does. Well, God, it doesn't matter how you live. It does. God loves you no matter what. But I got news for you, Brother Ron. On your worst day of living, He's still looking for you.
Amen.
God does love you, but you can't go to heaven a disgrace.
That's right. Come on, man.
Nobody's going to go to heaven and be a disgrace on their way. Somewhere along the line, God will intervene and He'll take you from that disgraceful way, place, things, and He'll put you into the grace of God, which is the love of God, the peace of God, the power of God, the presence of God. It will change your life. And when you wake up in glory, you won't be a disgrace. You'll be a perfect picture of the grace of God. People get mad at me sometimes because I say things about sin and sinners and things like that. What do you want me to do, lie?
Come on now.
You want me to lie to you and tell you all right when you're not all right? I imagine a lot of people done that to the demoniac all the way to the cemetery, year after year after year. Somebody probably patted him on the back and said, well, you're a good old boy. You're a good old boy. And look where it got him. We're not good old boys. We're all sinners. We all need a Savior. And if somebody doesn't wake us up and cry aloud and spare not and show my people their sins, we're going to end up in a devil's hell in the real graveyard. Amen? Well, preacher, you just don't love people. I do love people. We love people enough to tell them. Well, Rick, because we tell somebody that something's going to end in death or danger and hurts them, that doesn't mean we don't like them. It means we love them. Yeah. There's a lot of people walk right by this guy every day and never tried to warn him what was coming, and they knew what was coming. They've seen it come before. This ain't the first man that ever ended up in disgrace.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, I love him. I just can't tell him that. No, you don't love him enough, or you would have told him. Well, I love my children. I can't spank them. You don't love them enough because it hurts you to spank them. Matter of fact, it hurts you worse than it does them. I used to cry when I'd whip my children. Let me tell you something. If we love them, we'll tell them. If we love them, we'll point them to the Savior. If we love them, hey, it doesn't matter if they hurt our feelings or not. We're still going to tell them there's a better way. Well, I'm scared. Well, that's probably what everybody said about this guy. I'm scared of him. Who was it? Somebody told me one time, said, I want you to go see my husband. Said, he'll probably cuss you out. And I said, I've been cussed out before. Cussing don't hurt. Before I got saved, did a little bit of it myself. I said, that don't scare me at all. It's just cussing. He don't know any better. He's lost. He's blind. He's dead in trespass and sin. He don't know I'm trying to help him. He thinks I'm trying to judge him. Grace means I have another place. I don't have to live in the graveyard anymore. Grace means I have a real helper now. I don't have to be abandoned by everybody and turned over to the devil. I don't see how you just turn your children over to the devil. I don't see how you can do that. Well, preacher, I don't want to fuss. I'll fuss. You need to go back and read the Old Testament. Go read Jeremiah. Go read Ezekiel. Go read Isaiah. Go read where he told one of them, said, I want you to take all your stuff out there in the middle of the court where everybody goes by every day. Take all your stuff, pile it up right there and sit a few days. And then after that, I want you to dig a hole up under that wall with your bare hands. And by the way, while you're sitting there, I want you to take all your clothes off and sit there naked and put dirt all over yourself. He never questioned the Lord. He did it. Won't you read another one where he said, in the evening my wife died, and the next morning I went and did what I was supposed to do at the temple. I'm not Jesus. It's not easy for me to try to rescue people. It's hard work. It really is. And there's a lot of misunderstandings and hurt feelings and everything else. But look, if you love people, you'll just do it. A lot of us was raised in disgrace. We wasn't ever taught right to begin with. Some of the kids in this church, oh, thank God they got mamas and daddies and grandmas and grandpas that teach them while they're young. Because see, I started learning what was right when I was 23 years old when I got saved. And I had to discipline myself. But once you get the grace of God in you, you don't mind discipline anymore.
Amen. Yeah.
Some of you look back at your parents and where they whipped you and disciplined you and stuff, and now you say, thank God they did.
Amen. Yeah.
Now you call them blessed. You honor them. I don't think anybody should go to hell. I don't think this man should have went to hell. And he didn't, because Jesus stepped in. And you know what?
Amen.
Somebody had to row the boat to get Jesus over there.
That's right.
Somebody took him over there, Billy. You know, we don't physically have the Lord right here, but we do spiritually and through His Word. Why don't we row our boat over there sometime?
Amen.
You look at people going down the road, you say, sorry, drunk. Why don't you do better than that? Why don't you say, that's somebody's boy. I need to stop and talk to him. Look at that gal. She ought to put some clothes on. Well, why don't you remember that's somebody's daughter? Why don't you stop and say, hey, baby, let me help you a little bit. Let me invite you to church. This is the boat. We've got the Savior. They put him in that boat and they rowed over there. And you know what happened? They turned him loose and he did the work. I can't fix anybody. But Jesus can. So I can take them, Jesus. Let's stand. Father, thank you for the Word of God, powerful.